Now, in the days that follow an atrocity such as that of Paris on Friday, we are left asking the question, why and how? What drives a person to carry out such a cold-blooded attack? And again, as has been the case in other terrorist attacks, we find that those involved have been young men, one perhaps as young as 15. That's according to reports. And certainly eyewitnesses also talk about just how young some of the assailants looked. Well, for more on this, I'm joined now in studio by psychoanalyst Michael Murphy. Michael, thank you very much indeed for coming into us this morning. You know, from what you know and from what the research says, what is it about young men that makes them so susceptible to this type of extremist thinking and malleable that can allow people to turn them into these types of terrorists?
Well, Keelan, I think we're all aware we have a shadow side to our personality. It's even been in the subject of literature. Oscar Wilde's The Picture of Dorian Gray and Robert Louis Stevenson's The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. As we can see from those stories, we split off our own badness and we project it onto others. And this act of scapegoating underlies all kinds of prejudice, and it's at the bottom of all massacres, pogroms, and indeed this weekend's terrible slaughter in Paris. Through shadow projection, we're able to turn enemies into devils, and we're able to convince ourselves that they aren't men and women like us, but monsters, like the young people in Paris who eat out in restaurants, go to football matches, attend concerts. And ISIS has decided that they're unbelievers. Their behaviour shows that they don't believe in the ISIS version of God, and therefore they're unworthy of humane consideration, and the world must be rid of such people. For them, it's a divine duty. They're doing God's will.
So they've turned them into others, and we've certainly heard about the psychological effect of othering people, as we saw in the past with the Jewish population.
Yes,
for example.
Hitler. He returned repeatedly to the theme of Untermenschen, subhumans, by which he meant people of Jewish origin, and he declared that there was only one thing to do with such vermin, was the word he used, and that was to exterminate them. And you do exterminate vermin by a skillful use of propaganda. Today it's social media in which ISIS is expert. Hitler and indeed ISIS are able to induce a sizable number of people to project their shadow collectively onto those wonderful human beings who died in Paris, for example, and onto those Yazidi women who are the sex slaves of ISIS at the moment in Iraq, or if you go back 75 years, onto the 6 million people who died in concentration camps.
And Michael, if you look at the young men involved, I mean, obviously we don't have the identities, we don't know the full backgrounds of these men at this point, but it would seem that, generally speaking, this type of jihadi thinking emerges in areas
socially
of deprivation,
areas,
of isolation, of feeling of being outside mainstream society.
Yes.
Just how vulnerable are people who live their lives like that to a message of kind of a purpose that ISIS might have?
Very, very vulnerable indeed. There are two types of people, roughly. There are those who are actually quite religious. And here they have an ideology which is very religious in its orientation. It's not something we would recognise, but it does give them a purpose. And then there's another group of people who are actually psychotic, who are quite mad. And they have the opportunity to go and shoot people, to rape women. There are two types of people there. And they believe the ideology. If you have no purpose in a suburb of Brussels and suddenly you're a very powerful warrior, if you like, fighting for Islam, they have a reason to live and commit badness. In other words, they can justify what they're doing by not taking personal responsibility and projecting it onto the will of God. That's the thing about Islam as well. You must remember that Al-Quran actually means the recitation. God is actually speaking. In the Christian Gospels, there are stories told about we are at one remove, but God is actually speaking in the Quran.
Whereas we have evangelists, we have tellers of the story,
so that they are imbued, there's a word, a mana personality, and they become, they misrecognize reality. In fact, they are deluded. It's very close to paranoia. They are actually psychotically certain in their righteousness. They are mad, actually.
Well, we don't know the individual, but listening to Sheikh Omar, he would very much say it is a total misrepresentation of the meanings of the words of the Quran that these people have been using.
The French
have
a wonderful word. It's méconnaissance, which is much bigger than misrecognition. It's a turning around of knowledge.
Quite a deliberate act, almost.
Yes.
Michael, you've actually written a poem around this area, haven't you? This is in your book, A Chaplet of Roses, 24 poems by Michael Murphy.
Yeah, it's paradoxically, it's being launched next Thursday night in Hodges Figgis at 6 o'clock. And I had written, it's part of the book, but it takes on a huge poignancy in the light of what's happened in Paris.
It's a poem called Email to ISIS.
Will you read
an extract of that poem?
I will. And I did my master's in psychoanalytic studies at the University of Nancy in France, so I'm a confirmed francophile. And je voudrais dédier ce poème à toutes ces âmes qui sont mortes à Paris et en effet à la France. I'd like to dedicate this poem to all of those souls who died in Paris, and indeed to France. Email to ISIS. Hi, ISIS, I see you have a passion for ignorance, which is why you behead people to cleanse the world of knowledge. Because you consider culture a decadent concept, you blow up works of art to obliterate antiquities and the past. Since for you women are less than men, you blank them with burqas, negating their existence, confining them behind closed doors. If women bring children to school, they must have a male chaperone, otherwise you throw them off the highest building in the name of Allah, the Most Merciful. A God who, according to you, demands human sacrifice and the rape and murder of apostates and infidels. You know, ISIS, it's the usual story of religion from the history you excised. The Crusaders, the Catholic monarchs, Cromwell, the Inquisition. The intolerant have always engaged in wars of religion. I wish we had grown up a little more and abandoned those primitive opinions, for that is what they are, paradoxical ideas that are true and not true at the same time, undecidable metaphors that some people choose to live by, which helps them to be healthy human beings. I regret to say you're nothing special. People like you have always existed, Hitler and Stalin, Pol Pot and Mao Tse-tung, Kim Jong-il and Isaias Afwerki in Eritrea, tyrants who take their peoples hostage and experiment with terror and mass murder. When you have finished remaking the world in your image yet again, turning this verdant earth into a barren desert, may I ask, will there be room in your creation for those who sing and dance and sculpt and paint and make music, write with beautiful words and tell emotional stories, who value the human spirit, the freedom of the imagination, who take delight in the plurality of peoples, who place their trust in love and live their dream? Or will those few left alive who vehemently disagree with you be refugees fleeing the handiwork of a barbarian?
Michael Murphy, thank you very much for that. That's just an extract of the poem entitled Email to ISIS, which is in your new book, A Chaplet of Roses.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.